The following program is intended for mature audiences.
You're listening to Bottom Shelf Recording Talk.
Sounds boring.
Oh my, yeah.
With your hosts, James Seabrook.
Okay, you were paying attention, but the idea is clear in my head, but translating it into English is not. That's brutal. I understand the hypocrisy.
And Joey Roach.
I don't even know what you do. I was just told you were the man. Some people would say I'm overconfident. That could be my ego talking, though.
I'm trying to think of the right word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Must be a tough word. Next subject.
You're bored with this one?
You don't hear us gassing on about it.
I keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories,
you have a big mouth.
Here's a good idea.
What are you even talking about?
Have a point.
Why are you airing personal matters with complete strangers?
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Also, if you want to drop her to the ground, you're welcome to. But you're also, you know, she loves staying on your lap, so.
She's okay.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is episode 33, I think, assuming they don't air out of order or get posted out of order. Bottom Shelf Recording Talk. I just had a momentary thought of introducing myself, which we've never really done before, so I don't think I'm going to start. I'm going to suppress that urge.
Isn't that what the intro's for?
That's true. There we go. I feel better now. manager, record label guy, band leader, multifunctional, hardworking, and dedicated music man, Sasha Hubert.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I am pronouncing your last name right.
Yes, yeah, that's Hubert. Correct. Yes.
Cool. It's one of those things that I never really consider how to pronounce someone's name until I actually have to say it on some official forum.
It's actually, yeah, it's, well, commonly in Alberta, it's Sasha Hubert, but, when I was Hubert. Growing up, it was Hubert.
Hubert. Oh yeah. Cause you're part French, right?
Yes. That's
right. Awesome. Were you like Quebec born?
Yeah, Montreal.
No kidding.
Yeah.
See, these are things I had no idea.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that before.
That's right. How long have you been in Alberta?
Since 83.
Wow. So, what made you move to Alberta?
My dad got a transfer from work.
Right.
And I was too young to decide not to follow, or not old enough.
Gotcha. Nice. Cool. So kind of the way Joey and I do this is I usually explain this off air, but we're here now. So, we have some questions to kind of lead you through what we want to know about, and I'll dive into those in a sec, but we tangent like crazy. Kind of like squirrels that see new shiny things, just run off in that direction. and you know, we work on trying to stay focused, but also if you feel like tangenting, if an idea pops into your head and you want to rant about it, by all means, let it go. We love that stuff.
Okay.
Cool.
that could possibly happen.
Nice. So, before we really dive into anything, I want to clarify for everybody, your company, or your kind of, you almost have, it almost sounds like you have a network of companies, although that might just be like public.
Well,
image
no,
thing,
it's pretty much, kind of an umbrella. Basically I have, RCR Management, which stands for River City Rocks. That's how it started. Basically just representing bands.
Right.
And, later came the label, which I just kept the same name, so RCR Records.
Right, okay.
So, and yeah, that's basically how that started. I started, you know, just representing one band. I was going to help them out until they found management.
Right.
And just stuck with me, and then more bands came along, and then, yeah, the need for recording came, and through looking for labels and everything like that, and the decision was made, I'll just start my own.
Right.
Yeah.
So then let's take that step back to the beginning. How did you say you got into this with a band? You were helping out I know the answer. I'm trying to lead you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it started out with my daughter's band. That's what you're getting at, right? So, yeah, my daughter got started to a career in music, and then having been in music myself years ago, I kind of knew the challenges they would face, and you know, the downside of the business, which worried me. That's kind of when I decided to get involved, and so I started out just booking them shows and dealing with venues and different promoters, and and I thought I was finding proper management for that band eventually, and the more I found out about that, the more I decided to stay with them, and other bands were seeing what I was doing with them and asked if I would work with them, and that's it. Just grew from there.
Nice. So then, you now have, you know, a handful of bands that you're managing. Is that the right term? You are managing the bands.
I manage in my own style. I try not to interfere. Okay. Basically, I don't interfere with creativity or direction or look a band would like to have for themselves, right?
Right.
So where some managers will actually try to guide
the creative side as well.
The creative side as well.
You try to leave that to the creative.
I leave that to the band, and the way I see it is basically just to take what the band's vision is, what they want to represent, and help them put that out there.
Right.
I'll give some guidance if I think that, you know, perhaps they're on the wrong track. I will try to let them know. Yeah. But I mean, in the end, it's their vision that I'm trying to put out there.
Right. And that kind of sounds a little unique for a lot of managers that I've talked to, where I'm trying to think of someone that I've worked with that is that, I don't want to say hands off, because you're not hands off by any means, but that accepting of the artist's vision and not trying to, you know, a lot of managers I've worked with or I've talked with, they consider it part of their role to be almost a band member and help define that vision or define the creative part of that.
There's I mean, to a certain point, I do become a little bit of a band member. I do spend a lot of time with, well, as much as I can, with the bands,
right,
and talk about their direction and what they want, and I'll make suggestions to how to get there. But yeah, as far as directing a band to, you know, their look, their showmanship, or something, I will tell them, you know, if I think they're boring on stage, you know,
which I think you need to.
yeah, but but I won't try to create an image for them. People have to be themselves. In my opinion, they have to be who they are,
right?
And it has to feel comfortable what they're doing. So the vision that they have of who they are, that's what I will go with, as opposed to trying to recreate some, you know, I mean, that's how you got boy bands, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Right?
So, you know, too much meddling, I think, yeah, well,
right,
you know, it leads to that. I mean, you look at the old bands, the big bands that came out of the 60s and that, who started out without managers and got them later. Those managers take the image that these kids had, like, what kids were now older than us, but
right.
It took that image and then just put it out there. I mean, nobody dressed up Led Zeppelin. Those guys already looked like that when they got management.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the idea is to do something, you know, similar to that. Like, here's this band, here's how they are, and you know, have a look. Now you like them or you don't, but, you know.
And that's the way music is anyway, right? But
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you have the management side, and you start working with artists. How did the River City Rocks record label come about? And what
frustration, actually. That's where it came from.
Okay.
For
frustration in what way?
Well, you know, when you start looking for a label, trying to put in a band on a label, some of the answers you get are going to be, well, they don't have enough numbers, they don't have enough exposure, and because, well, the way the business runs today, we know everything's gone to, you know, digital, and there's almost no money to be made in music as a musician, at least not the old conventional ways, right?
Right.
So, labels don't take the risk anymore on brand new bands. You know, oh, you guys sound great, we're gonna get behind you. That's almost dead. So now they're looking for bands that have done pretty much all the work.
Yeah.
And they can just take the album onto the label and you know, put the band out there, but most of the work is already done. That's what they're looking for. So the bands I work with are just bands that are just starting out, and they're known maybe locally here, if that much. And
yeah.
And I don't think that means they're not deserving of a record deal. I mean, if the band is good, the band is good. If the music is worth putting out there, then it should be, in my opinion. So how do we do that when the labels are
at them? And, right? And it's got to be 5 years or more for me since I've last talked to a record label. So what constitutes, what is the record label?
That's a great question.
And Joey's gonna berate me for this later because I should know this, but but I don't really know. I've been very anti-record label for decades, but I don't really know what the record label does that the management company doesn't. And maybe that's where I'm confused is.
Where do I stop being a manager? Where do I start being a label?
Yeah.
I mean, I personally try not to distinguish the two.
Okay.
You know, that's my take on it. But I'm out in the world out there, a manager looks out for the band's best interest, and they basically are working as a go between, right? Between, you know, the label and the band.
Right.
Now the label, I mean, it depends on the contract you're getting into, but now the label will sign you on an album, sign you for an album, let's say, and there's an agreement as to, you know, percentages and who's going to make money. Now, from there, they will offer so much networking or, you know, publicity, and they'll get behind you for, you know, so many tours, or, you know, as per contract.
Okay.
And there'll be a certain amount of help with, you know, funding of these things. And that depends on, again, on the agreement and how much the label feels, you know, confident with committing. So okay. Contracts
vary from
a situation. They kind of have, like, most labels will have a generic form that they just kind of tweak
for numbers for each one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I've seen a few of these different contracts. Now, the old contracts where labels would pay for everything and take a cut, those contracts are almost
non-existent anymore.
Non-existent. So yeah. Nowadays a band will pay a certain amount of money to get on the label. And then they will... Yeah.
And they're actually...
And then there's a split. Like, you have contracts now. Some of the most known contracts out there today are what they call joint ventures. They'll be... And smaller labels are doing that. And even so, some of the big labels. So basically, they will commit as much money as you're putting into the album. So say, well, you give us $15,000. We're going to record you. We're going to do this. We're going to put you out there, blah, 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 blah. And we'll commit $15,000 to your marketing campaign.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's a very popular contract out there nowadays.
Right.
And these numbers, $15,000, they can be up to, they go up to $100,000, depending on how much...
Sure.
Commitment and how much work we're gonna put into this band, basically.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of the popular formula out there. I know that there are different setups, those contracts. The reason why I kind of like them a little better is they do commit a certain amount of money, but the payoff for the band is actually greater than it used to be.
Okay.
Right, because contracts where the label paid everything, it was easier on a band, but the percentage of funds coming back was probably like between 5% and 15% if they were really lucky.
Right,
these contracts pays back sometimes up to 50% back to the band.
Okay,
right, so that's in a sense better, but it's a lot harder to get into. I mean, as musicians, we know musicians are broke, so to come up with that initial
investment,
that's all you see, all these campaigns, now these funding campaigns coming up and everything like that. That's generally a band that's got some kind of an arrangement like that. I mean, and producers are doing it now. So much labels, there's a lot of producers who own studios and stuff like that are offering such contracts to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's been something that's been going on for many, many years, is the a producer sees something in a band, offers to finance or co-finance the recording, and then uses their influence to take that band to a record label that will then be able to promote and distribute the album. And thus everybody makes money, right?
Yeah. And you're seeing that happen more and more. As lately, I mean, labels have been hit by, the internet age, and then they really don't know how to live with it, right?
Yeah.
So, that's kind of the formula they've come up with. But, nowadays... The reality is if you have the right people around you and if you have the right contacts, you might as well do this yourself, and in a way. And so now my role as a label now is more of a facilitator, and I'll do some production for a band. I'll stand there and give direction, but it's more of bringing him to the right place, like, say, here.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Put an album together for them, and I'll set up distribution for him. I've got set up for distribution, which is, to the extent that I have it, that's hard to get. I mean, everybody can put a CD on CD Baby or something like that nowadays, or iTunes, or...
Yeah.
The type of distribution that I have is a little more extensive, so
nice.
I have access to more in that sense. So that's a service I can also provide. But as far as getting an album done, now, if you've got that kind of money, just find the right people, and that's kind of what I do. So I'll find the right people for them, do that legwork. Yeah,
yeah, help match the band with the engineer, with the studio, with the producer,
right,
with the arrangers, with the right session musicians if needed, or like we did with the Tagera record last year, was you set them up with us here at the studio, and myself as the engineer, and then you had you brought in a vocal coach that that helped with oh man, I just blanked on his name.
Omar.
Omar.
Yeah.
Wow. I apologize, Omar. but to you know to help work with him on very specifics about his singing and we watched it, you know, we watched it go from being good to much better, just working with her as a, you know, and then the production team that you had that was, you know, that was paying attention to each detail. It was a good kind of a matching of everything that,
yeah, I think that album actually went really well. Mm-hmm. It was, and I, for first EP for that band, I think that was, it was a great, you know, a great start.
Yeah.
So yeah, and now the band, that album, we took it there. We had it, we sent it away for mastering, and then that was, yeah, it came back a pretty good product. And so now it's being distributed, it's out there. And then for them, it was a great introduction tool, right?
Right.
So, and they were able to do that with, you know, a reasonable amount of money, including my services. It was, you know, for what people are paying out there, I mean, they got a decent deal, and that's yeah. really the point, you know, for me.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a little different where, yes, I take a little bit of a fee for myself, but I'm not into this for money. I've got a regular job, right?
So yeah, you got the day or night job or...
Yeah, my day or night or whatever, yeah, work yeah. swing shifts, so, but... Yeah, it's not really about money. For me, it's mostly about the frustration of how hard it is to actually be a musician today, and mm-hmm. and just anything I can do to help people make a living in the music business, then that's my goal, really.
Right. So how many artists then are you managing versus how many artists that you work with on the record label? Is there, are they always on both?
No, there's a difference. I mean, it's by the band's needs, really. There's some that prefer to take care of the recording themselves, and then they'll ask me to distribute. No, I do have a certain standard. You know, if I find that they haven't that done it right, I may send them back to the drawing board.
Recording-wise, you mean?
Recording-wise, okay. Yes. I won't just distribute everything. I mean,
right.
Put out everything. I do have a certain standard to hold up to if I want to actually keep the services, right? Yeah. Or
I think it'd be distribution. A pretty bad label if you just released everything.
Well, exactly, right. Yeah, so... Yeah,
here's an iPhone recording.
Girl. But I mean, but what I'm getting at is it doesn't necessarily have to be that I was present during the recording.
Right.
I just need to hear, there's some certain things I need to hear that are before I say, yeah, okay, I'll put that out for you.
I'm just hit with the first tangent of the day. Maybe not the first tangent. So,
oh man, it's 20 minutes in.
Oh, this is
a record.
Well below our standards, I'm sure. So we're recording podcasts, and we geek out about weird recording things all the time. I was listening to a podcast this morning where they were talking about an American band called the 88. I'm pretty sure that's what they were called. And I haven't heard the recording, but apparently what they did was they recorded the entire record, or maybe it was just the one song. Maybe it was just the one song. Using a 7-year-old iPhone as the microphone. They just had it in front of the drums, and they baffled it so it wasn't overloading the microphone, and then they put it in front of the bass amp, and they, you know, proper distance to not overload it or whatever, and then they did the guitars as well, and then they used a Rode microphone into an M Audio interface into the iPhone to record the vocals, because they wanted slightly more modern. But they've been getting radio play. They've been charting on Spotify, I hear, and they've been
through this phone.
And the recording sounds good enough that people aren't concerned about the recording, because the song is great, the performances are great, and they all work together really well. Which is
okay.
It still sounds like they
took their time to get good recordings out of the phone.
Exactly, right? But it was just one of those weird things. It popped into my head because I heard it this morning. Heard about it this morning.
I'm intrigued.
And as to what
that would sound like.
Exactly, right? Sorry. Okay. So, tangent.
That's not good news for you.
Well, that's the thing, I try to encourage my clients that are willing to listen that it's not about the space. It's not about the equipment. It's about the people doing the work. The musicians obviously had great performances, inspired performances to be able to use a crappy recording microphone. Like, iPhone microphones are terrible, but they made it work and the performance must have been good. And then it was the band taking the time to find the right, to find the right place for the phone, to find the right way to shape the sound. As apparently for the drums, they threw a really heavy blanket over top of the phone to muffle things, so it wasn't overwhelmingly cymbal heavy and stuff, those
microphones can get overloaded
but it was taking the time to figure that out, you know. And if it does sound as good as this podcast was saying, then, you know, It's just proof that the equipment doesn't matter a whole ton.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, but to standards. Yeah. Tangents. I apologize.
No.
So let's jump back into the standards. So my brain is going in 12 directions. Let's divide this up. What does the management side of your company, what does that specifically do for bands?
Okay. For me, it'll be mostly, whatever arrangements or, you know, contracts the band will get into. I'll go over it and make sure it's in their best interest.
Right.
I'll negotiate the financial size of it when they're, and I'll book gigs. I act as a booking agent.
Cool.
What the bands don't see is the networking and the putting their names out in front of the right people,
right?
Out in the business. That's what I spend most of my time doing. Talking to radio stations, internet stations, or other bigger promoters and such, you know, to try to get them in front of, you know, the right people. A lot of what the management that I do will be about that. And I spend probably 40, 50 hours a week working on that sort of thing.
Really?
Just networking and talking to people about the bands and, you know, how to get them in front of there. That's most of my...
That much work. Time on top of your day, like on top of your full-time job?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes more. Wow. Depending if I've got something big coming up for a band, then it'll be that much more additional time.
So how do you manage that with family life? Because obviously, like your day, your full time job is a full time job, and then this sounds like full time plus.
Well, I'm fortunate enough in a way that my full time job is shift work, so I'll be working 5 days, but then I'll be off for five.
Okay.
So I don't get days off, basically.
Right.
And even when I'm working, my night shift, I'll get home, and before I go to bed, I'll spend 2-3 hours on the computer.
Right.
Or networking around the phone or, you know, whatever's needed. Yeah. Do a lot of meeting. Face-to-face meetings are kind of a dying thing now. But,
yes. Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's still some of that going on, and then I'll go to bed, and then the same thing over and over. Now, as far as family life go, I try to keep this in hours where, say, the wife is at work, or yeah. You know, and when she gets home, I try to have most of my stuff done, which usually doesn't work, but
yeah. at least she sees the intention.
Yeah. No, I spend most of my time doing that sort of thing, and that's kind of the management side of things. And then whatever comes up, you know, I'll get phone calls and, hey, we need help with this, we need help with that. Do you know somebody? Blah blah blah. And
right.
Yeah, and then a lot of arranging that kind of things, and then setting up shows. Sometimes I actually put the shows on myself. So
right.
And then that's the coordination, the stage coordination, and all right. That sort of thing. Then on top of it, right.
So then, if a band wants to work with you as their manager, what are your criteria for working with a band? Because you must have some criteria to filter out the bands.
Basically, I have to hear what they're doing, and I have to not necessarily like it, although that helps. But I do have to. I do have to see good musicianship. I want to hear, okay, yeah, these guys can play, right? That's number one. And will somebody else be interested in this? You know, is it possible that somebody will like it? And then, you know, most of the time the answer to that is probably, yeah, somebody somewhere. But is there some type of a market? Is there a niche, or possibly even at some level?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to waste somebody's time if really all they're doing is going to be a basement thing, you know?
Right.
It's, and sometimes that is, I mean, it's great stuff, but I mean, it's just not.
They're not motivated enough to leave the basement.
Well, sometimes it's motivation, or sometimes it's just not feasible. I mean, there's people doing things out there musically that people just won't get, you know. It's more of a personal thing, and sometimes it should stay that way. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just
Joey,
it's,
you and I are fucked.
Oh, I know that I'm fucked. Yeah, but when it comes
some
to
things
the
sometimes are like that. You know, I ran into a guy where this guy just liked to get all kinds of different noises together that he heard in nature or industrial or whatever, and he puts that together and then he mixes it, and it's actually really well done.
Nice.
You know, it's really cool, but it's you know, some people wouldn't even call it music, right? So would I take that guy on and put out his record? I mean,
probably not.
No, he's going to spend money, and chances are he's not going to sell anything. So
yeah,
you know, somebody might pick it up, but. You know, you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, people are buying whale sounds, so.
That's true.
I never thought that would sell.
You never really thought about it before.
You know, yeah, but it sells, so.
Cool. So then you do keep the management side and the record label side separate?
Somewhat separate. But it does. I mean, for the bands that come on the label, then it becomes a little bit meshed in together for them.
Right.
As I just make it an extension, right?
Okay.
Because now I'm working behind the album as well.
Right.
Right. All of that work is now basically doubled because now I'm putting an album to push. So.
Right.
Now I do have. Outlets, you know, or people I reach out to help me out, who more experienced in networking or stuff like that. Because with the internet age, I mean, there it's actually an art to online marketing is. I mean, you can go to school for that now, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
I have people who have taken the course, so you know. I thought of taking it. I thought of taking the course, but hey, you know.
Why would
somebody
you
already has, right? So yeah. Yeah. I got to reinvent the wheel every time I need something new to do.
Yeah, right. So then with the record label, it's all around the record, of course, whatever recording that they want to release. And you help network with that and market the recording. And that's, do you have bands on the record label that aren't part of the management, or is that what you meant by kind of extending?
No, it's an extension. If I take a band onto my label, generally I will give them management with it, unless they already have somebody. That just hasn't happened. But I would welcome a band that already had a manager.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, it just hasn't. That hasn't presented itself yet. Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Now on the bands. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4. There's roughly 6 on the label.
Very cool.
And there's probably 10 or 12 altogether as far as management.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. But,
you know, that said, there are a lot of bands that I also work with just as... only booking.
Hmm.
You know, they'll come, hey, do you have a show we can get into? And that's all I do with those certain bands. You know, up to, basically just leading them by the hand almost everywhere sometimes, you know. There's different levels of involvement. And I think it's a lot depending on their needs and... these guys, some of them are really, really driven, and that really helps. There's a lot less work to do for them. I mean, all they need is help or contacts or
a resource.
They want to know how to do something, and
yeah,
I'll tell them, and that's it. Off they go, you know. So
nice. What are, this might be like asking what's your favorite child, but what are some of the what are like your top two or top three bands that you're most involved with?
Most involved with would be, my daughter's band, right?
That's fair. Yeah.
Currently named Liquid Luck.
Liquid Luck. You say that as though they're considering a name change.
you're getting this kind of the inside scoop here. There are announcements to be made.
Okay, so stay tuned to social media for.
Yeah, and also, Vanity Red is one of the bands I work a lot with. These guys are really hardworking guys, so
yeah,
it's I spend a lot of time with them on that. Then Tagera.
Still working a lot with them?
Tagera, awesome. Still with them. Nice. And Tagera, I've taken a different approach because while you know their music, it's kind of a niche music.
Right? Yeah, it's kind of more progressive than... Yeah.
Right. So it's not what you hear on the radio every day. But that said, it's still really good stuff. I think it would do really well as, you know, college radio level, stuff like that. I think they've got a good chance there. So... with them, I've got somebody, one of these marketers that I was talking to you about. I've got one I'm involved just to help with the direction and development of the band. And actually, he's going to work on things like image and presentation and stuff like that.
Cool.
He will do that as well.
kind of like creating the online brand. Type of thing, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I mean, he's a man that has worked in on big labels before.
Oh, cool.
Started out, some of the people you hear today on the radio started some of their careers while he was working with these labels. So now he's kind of got off on his own, and he's helping out new bands and stuff like that. He's worked with... some bands you might have heard. You know, I'm not at liberty to say his name, so I don't want to go too much into that because I haven't asked him if I can.
That's fair.
If I can talk about his name, he tends to want to go kind of stay in the background.
And a lot of guys, like that. I find once they leave the main label. Mm-hmm. Or the bigger label, and they start working with independents, they kind of want to be really selective. And I would imagine someone like this, we mention his name, he starts getting more phone calls. Hey, so-and-so, can you help my band out? Hey, I do basement recordings and I want my mixtape to get out there. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he gets enough of that now that he doesn't really want more, but, yeah, I mean, when we talked about the bands I work with, he did go through the bands that I work with, and he said, okay, yeah, I'll work with them, and them. Right. You know, not necessarily
those other ones.
These ones, So,
cool. Okay.
So, yeah, he had something in mind. Anyways, Tagara is one of the bands that he chose to work with. So
sweet. Yeah. Right on. Well, they were one of my favorite recording projects in the last couple of years. Because it was such a, they were all super motivated, and they were working around. What's the drummer's name?
Michael.
Mike. He was in the process of. Was he in the process of moving, or was he getting married?
Moving and.
I think he was. Yeah, I think that was right when he was moving with the, and so it was.
He was moving, and the relationship was getting more serious. So yeah, I was working around that. It was. You know, but it was a really cool session, the recording with those guys. It was really cool.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun and got to be pretty experimental. You weren't involved. That was one of the
project that I would have liked to have been on.
Oh yeah, it was pretty cool because they were a band that wasn't afraid to not do something formulaic. You know, like a lot of bands just don't even realize they're doing the formula thing because it's you know, they just don't know any better, right? That's what they hear all the time. Yeah. That's what they write.
The formula actually perpetuates itself because you hear the formula growing up, and then you just kind of regurgitate what you've been hearing.
And they had no problem doing things that I remember Josh, the guitar player, every once in a while would say, you know what, that's a little too pop. Let me rewrite that little thing, and so we're going to do it a little differently, you know, and intentionally steer off. And they had a couple songs that didn't follow any predictable pattern, and they would go into a chorus, and then they would go into a breakdown, and then they would go into a totally different parts, and then they would come back and they might go into a chorus. They had once, I'm getting really excited about this because I really did enjoy this record. But I can't remember any of the names, which makes me feel terrible, but they had this one song that just totally, almost halfway through the song, it feels like they're going into a different song, and they stay there. They don't come back.
Break the Earth.
Yes, Break the Earth. And it was just a cool thing. And Omar's singing style is a little
different,
kind of different too. Yeah. And it was, so yeah, you would have really enjoyed it. I should have just brought you in on just to hang out. Cause it's not like you were doing anything then anyway, working at a pizza joint.
Yeah, I would have probably came in. Yeah.
It was also one of the first records we did on the new console. I think we'd done a two song punk recording prior to that, and then it was the Tagara record.
So this was shortly after the install.
Yeah, this would have been like early mid September last year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a year.
Yeah.
To the
get
week.
Get me to come in all the time to install the record and then or install the board. Console,
and then, hey man, we're doing a recording. You shouldn't come in today. Right. Where were we going? I'm lost again.
I don't know.
Joey, catch me up. Where were we?
That's
about right. Okay. Oh, right. I was asking about your three most most involved bands.
Right? Oh yeah,
so that would be Liquid Luck, yeah. Vanity Red, and Tagara.
Yes, and I recently just picked up the Abelkind, which, and I think that's going to be pretty involved as well.
Cool. The Abelkind.
The Abelkind, yes. Cool. This is an interesting story to this band. I've been following them for roughly 5 years. And they were a metal band when I first encountered them. And female vocals and five piece, I believe it was. Really hard driven music. They were good. No, they were good. And now they're a three piece band. And the girl is gone. And it's kind of a rock, reggae, ska type.
Very cool.
Style. And you can still hear the kind of the metal in there, but it's not, you know, it's, you can't call it metal, and they, but the, you know, the beat, the groove is a reggae type thing. It's really good, and but these guys are the trio is very driven,
nice,
very driven, and then that's kind of pumps me up. You know, okay, well, these guys really want to do this; they're really into what they're doing, so. That's, yeah, okay, that's, I get involved more, you know, it's
especially,
more of an incentive.
Well, especially yourself, as you said earlier, you're not in this for the money. You try to take as little of the band's money as you can, but it's made up by working with motivated bands because that's where so much of the excitement is.
Well, yes. Right? Yeah. You know, if a band's not into it and they're not, you know, you constantly have to drag them around, then it's, what am I doing this for? You know, mm-hmm. You know,
exactly,
they're not paying me. So
yeah. So what's
the
motivation
the point now? Right. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, a band like that, yeah, it's a lot of fun to get behind them, mm-hmm. You know, and they've got some good stuff coming out too,
right? Sweet.
So
nice. I want to give a plug to wherever they're, I'm a studio geek, I would vacation in recording studios if the wife would allow me, but where are they doing their recording?
You know what, I'm not even sure.
Okay.
Because they had the recordings pretty much done when they give me a call.
Awesome.
So I'm not too sure. They have their contacts and such. Yeah. So
yeah, it's such a small community then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I didn't ask. So
it just sounded good.
I just said, send me the music, send me what you've got. And then that's, yeah, I can get behind that. I didn't really ask questions.
Cool. Okay. So, anything else we should talk about the record label, the management company? Do you have any other questions? I know I've been kind of taken over again, but no.
Isn't that your job at this point in the podcast?
I guess, eh?
I'm just the guy who tells you that you're dumb.
I'm writing that one down. That's a great. okay, so the last few minutes of the show. Let's go in a more personal direction.
Okay.
You are a musician yourself. You've been involved in music as a player for years. How did you get into music, and what's kind of your instrument?
Oh boy. I think I was 5 years old when mom brought home the new rule that all kids were to take an instrument. So she came to see me and came to see my brother, and then you have a choice of these instruments. And I didn't want to do the typical thing. Piano was on the list. And so I said, what's that there? Accordion. Yeah, do that. I'll do that. So, and so I got an accordion and I played that and learned read, write music and think I was 11 years old when I said, okay, maybe the piano was a better idea. So got on the piano for a couple of years. And then the teenage years started, and I said, I want a guitar.
Yeah.
You know? And then I got a classical guitar with nylon strings, and my friends were getting into bands, and I had this thing, and I was like, no, not, that's not what I really wanted. But I learned, started learning how to play it,
right.
But and then I put it aside for a little while. As I, then I discovered I had a voice. Well, I always knew I had a voice, but I never thought much of it.
Right.
And then people had started to hear me sing. I said, yeah, you could sing. You could sing. I said, really? Okay. So I got into that. And as far as the instruments go, everybody around me could play better than I could. So there was no point in me.
Sure.
Okay, I'll just sing. So,
right.
And yeah, and then I got into bands, and basically my kids started coming around, and I just dropped everything. So
as a lot of parents end up doing, yeah.
So okay, it was kind of a thing where if you weren't in the business already, then growing up meant that you had to put it aside, and so I did, and. Yeah, and then my kids, well, there you go. They're into music too, and it's kind of, they pulled me back in.
Nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, and so now actually I'm singing again after all these years. And
mm-hmm. Well, what's the name of the new band?
Slant Six.
Slant Six.
Yeah. We like cars.
Fair enough. I don't know much about cars at all, so the reference goes right over my head.
Oh, Slant Six is an engine style.
Oh, there you go. Joey, did you know that?
No.
No, yeah. We're the wrong kind of geeks for that. And so who's all in the band?
Oh, well, who's in the band? We got Mr. Mike Chapman. We got Will Markstrom on guitars. And Jeremy Sitar does our harmonica and acoustic.
I've met him.
And I've got Stephen Harris now playing bass.
Cool.
And Christopher Pigeot playing drums.
Sweet.
Right and on. I sing.
Yeah. And you guys did, I remember we were talking about this maybe it was 6 months ago, maybe less. You guys had done a recording and you had released it to raise...
Funds for Fort Mac. Yeah.
It was the Fort Mac thing. Okay, cool.
Yeah. We kind of rushed into that one. The band was pretty much brand new
mm-hmm.
when the fires started.
Right.
And it was like, oh, what can we do? Like, we were all somewhat affected by it. You know, we had either had friends there or at work there or, you know, and then get people we know were just, you know, devastated by that one. So, it felt right to do something. So, yeah, we had a few songs, and then we picked up the one that we felt most comfortable with and said, well, let's record it, and how can we do that real quick? And
mm-hmm.
So our drummer, Chris, has a...
Has a home studio.
Yeah, he's got somewhat of a home studio. He has a band, actually, in France, where he's from.
Awesome.
And now that he lives here, he's decided... They've decided that he's going to remain kind of the part of the band, so... they record stuff and they send them to him and he puts on the drum tracks and he sends it back. Right.
Yeah.
So as it turns out, he was equipped to be able to put a recording together and that's right. What we did.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's on iTunes. Is that right?
Yeah, it's on iTunes. Well, now it's on everywhere.
Oh,
okay. I started out simply on iTunes, but now you can find it. Everywhere, Spotify, anything. Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, anywhere there's something.
So we'll,
it's called Bring On The Storm.
Bring On The Storm. Is there a, do you guys have like a central webpage or a social media page that is kind of your go-to?
Well, my band just has a Facebook page.
Okay.
We have a Reverb Nation page as well.
Okay. We'll throw something up in the show notes so people can link directly to it.
Sure.
And then through that, they can find the song.
Even the label website, it's there too as well.
Right? Yeah, excellent. So. Maybe that's what we'll do. Cool.
Yeah.
So anything, is there anything coming up that involved with maybe the band, or maybe some of your bands have some milestones coming up, or
there's some fun stuff coming up. Actually, my band, we're gonna do a Halloween show here at Danny Ack's house at the end of October.
Okay.
So that's gonna be fun. And then there's my annual festival coming up. I call it Rock Slam. So that's this year was delayed a little bit. I'd usually do it at the end of the summer, but this year's gonna be December 3rd.
And you guys are doing that at the Needle.
Needles to Vinyl, and it's gonna be. There's 10 bands this year.
Sorry for that sound guy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then there's two acoustic acts as well on top of the 10 bands. So.
Oh, man. I feel really sorry for that sound guy.
Well, there are two stages, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it'll be one and one and one and one. And it's going to be a busy day. And I think actually there's going to be two sound men.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of not so bad then, because the Needle with the two stages, you're setting up one while the other one's playing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just constant all day long.
It'll be just a continuation. We're going to start about 3 p.m. and it'll go on. I think the last band they'll start at 1 a.m. So.
Okay. And that's December 3rd?
Yes.
Right. December 3rd at the Needle. Cool. And details on the management website, right?
The website, the Facebook, on the Needles page. It's
awesome. How much,
and you'll start hearing a little more and more of it
as we
here.
Get closer, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How much are tickets? Are tickets available yet?
They're Yegg Live.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So they'll be they're 15 at the door, 12 in advance.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
cheap.
That's $1.50 per band.
Yes, basically.
Right?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
That's wicked.
So it's
who are the headliners?
Well, you've got
the biggest names.
The biggest names. Who? Yeah, some huge names there. Yeah, and that's all. I mean, it's all local bands. I mean, we got Vanity Red and the new version of Liquid Luck will be there, and the Able Kind, Tagera, King Ray Nancy, Joel Nickel.
Oh, yeah.
Will be there as well. Days Alone, Grounded Star. So,
sweet.
Yeah, quite a bit. The James Beaudry Band actually is kind of played this
year
again.
James Beaudry Band.
Yes.
He's
a character, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it should be
cool.
Yeah, he's good for.
He's good.
He's fun.
His EP, they did all the drum tracking here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I got a kind of a sneak preview on a lot of the songs as their producer Patty Pease was working on them. I would sneak into the control room here and listen to how things were going.
Right.
And it turned out fantastic. Patty did some great work.
No, right on.
Okay, so how do people track you down as far as the management record label goes?
Well, sometimes I'll find them, but if they're looking for me, I have the email, I have the website, and the email is on the website.
Cool.
I generally don't put out my phone number,
which is,
but that's. through the website, through Facebook, and you know, they can find my email and contacts. Right.
Are you open to submissions?
I am open to submissions. I listen to everything. So,
but you are selective about who you choose to work with, right?
Yes, I mean it's if I don't think I can do anything for them, then I won't waste their time.
That's fair.
Basically.
Cool.
You know, but yeah, if there's something there, definitely I'm on board.
Nice. All right. Well, Sasha, thank you so much for coming on the show. Joey, great conversation as always.
Oh, I'm just a talking machine.
Sometimes.
Follow all right. Our hosts see on Twitter at Two Bodies of Water.
You got that mic in a comfortable spot yet?
I'm still working on it.
At Joey R. Engineer.
I can't even talk.
I don't remember what my point was.
This is a boring podcast.
I realize at the end of this, we didn't introduce ourselves.
On to the internet you go. Go switch off.